Before items on the agenda, written by the Department of Prevention and People with Disabilities, will be the Center of the Flatness report to the Public Service Commission on progress to date. The consideration and adoption of figures to the report, which I think we all have an opportunity to go through. Consideration and adoption of the report of the public hearing for the department agenda and policy bill. And the last item, which is the in the absence of department, whilst we are waiting for them, can we proceed to item 2 in the meantime? Then we will see them in. For the past 2 weeks, and I hope we have been able to go through and make amendments to the report. I will ask Kashifa to take us through. What we keep here is the legacy report, which takes into consideration everything that the committee has done within the fourth parliament. But I think just before we actually go into the structure of the report and what it captures, I'm going to pull out our strategic plan and just give a refresher of what the committee agreed to in 2009 as a key issue that you were going to do. So if you just give me a moment. So what we have on screen is a document we compiled in 2009, on the 24th of August. And that was our strategic plan, and it basically covered what the committee's mandate is, the key issues we were going to cover, main tasks and activities. Sure. And we looked in terms of what we planned for the fourth parliament, what are the key issues around oversight, legislation, international participation, public participation, and then identified key issues and challenges at the time and what was required. One of the key items back then was initially youth was part of the committee's mandate. That was in the first 2 years. So we actually had the National Youth Development Agency come to us. But over and above youth, we needed to look at women, children, and people with disabilities. And because the committee agreed that the mandate was quite significant in terms of how would we possibly accomplish full effect, given our time. So what the committee had agreed to, that for each year we would adopt a particular theme.
What kind of thing are you talking?
So, the theme that the committee chose was in 2009, violence, and in relation to women, children, and persons with disabilities. 2010 was a focus on survival and development. 2011 was economic empowerment. 2012 was education and skills development. In 2013, the idea was to look at the department, government program of action, and a review. So that, in summary, indicates when we did our strategic plan in 2009, I just expected before we actually go to the legacy report. 2009, our mandate was big. We were looking at youth over and above women, children, persons with disabilities. We had a workshop to look at how would we identify what the key issues are and decided these are going to be the themes that we're going to focus on every year over and above our oversight in relation to the department, the CG, and the NYDA. So that just gives members a background to what we had covered. I think I'm going to go with the summary first, because that just captures in essence what are some of the key highlights and issues that emerged from the committee. And I think with Che, maybe we could find out from members if there was anything else, now that you've gone through the report over the past 2 weeks, are there any amendments? So for the first 5 minutes, I'll just capture some of the key issues in terms of the reflection, given that I've just gone through the strategic plan and what we decided, what we were going to do for each and every year. So, as indicated for page 1, in terms of the reflection, in 2009, the focus was around violence. And one of the key things we did was the public hearings on the implementation of the Domestic Violence Act, 11 years since it came into force. Following that, we had an oversight visit in relation to the issues that emerged from the public hearings. We also had several departments come brief the committee based on the issues that emerged at the public hearings. And again, I'm just focusing on page 1, which captures some of the key issues and summaries, summarizes what the committee has done. I think part of our strategy around doing public hearings has worked really well, which we captured and followed through for the public hearings on children disability and the CGE. We had a very strong media strategy. So whenever there was public hearings, there would be a media statement that would be issued. We'd look at members in the different provinces doing radio interviews. And that one raised awareness about what the public hearing was, but also gave insight for civil society as to understanding what's the role of the committee. And I think that was also part of the member kind of talking more about the committee and putting the committee out there. In 2010, we focused around child survival and development. And in that year, we had the Department of Health and the Minister talk to the committee about MDG 3, 4, and 5, issues related to child survival, maternal health. And we also spoke to issues of violence in terms of how the Department of Health is responding to matters that came out of the public hearings. And we had a briefing by the Medical Research Council. In that year, we also did several oversight visits. And what we did was when we visited provinces like Limpopo, we didn't just focus around domestic violence, but we also focused around child survival and maternal health. So as we progressed from 9 to 10, our committee had began to work with very integrated. We never just focused around children, we never just focused around women, or never just around persons with disabilities. It was always integrated. parking located in the key. And again, they visited to focus around women and economic empowerment. We also visited the protective workshop looking at labor and persons with disabilities and the challenges faced there. And that seems to be particularly helpful. In 2013, we had two key issues that emerged. One was the report on the Convention on the Rights of the Child that is referred to the committee. The intention of the committee at that stage was actually to have public hearings on the CRC report, but given our tight time frames, we basically had to report within less than 2 or 3 weeks. We were able to engage a few people from civil society, and we had the department brief the committee. I think one of the key highlights from the report pertaining to the Convention on the Rights of the Child was that when our report was ATC, the speaker actually looked at the report and wrote to the Deputy President in relation to what are the recommendations that emerged from our report, and requesting that the respective government departments look at what the issues were in relation to the children's matters and report back to Parliament. The other key important issue that emerged in 2013 was the public hearings on the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And there again, many issues had emerged as to what the challenges persons with disabilities face in the country. The other important issue that came about was the public hearings on the amendment for the Commission for Gender Equality Act. And then towards the end of the year was the introduction of wage. I think the key important matter related to the public hearings around the CGE amendment bill was that it was very focused and sharp, and we were able to conclude on that, but we also acknowledged that at the public hearings and submissions, people raised several issues related to the CGE, which the committee said that we are aware of it, but there was a process in Parliament looking at matters related to Chapter 9 institutions, and that was one of the pending matters. I think across the fourth Parliament, just in concluding on the reflection of the programme, the committee consistently engaged with the department, CGE, and at the beginning of the NYDA. I think if we look at how the committee wanted to look at themes and work with themes and relation to the department, that often our work in terms of the department took a lot more time. So we had less time to focus on thematic issues. During the year, with the department and the CGE, we would have briefings of the State of the Nation address, the budget, the strategic plan, in-year monitoring, as well as annual report and VRR. And I think we underestimated how much time we'd often need the department to come back to us, to give us more information, more time to engage on issues. With both department and CGE, the committee was really firm about the recommendations in terms of provide us with regular reports and financial reports so that we don't leave all of that in your monitoring closer to the annual report time. So that makes it extremely difficult for the committee to monitor consistently. So as you move to page 2, I've just captured some of the key focus areas again, as we've noted before. In terms of number 3 and 4, three was key areas for future work. And I think this is really, in terms of committee's input, this would be helpful. The idea is when the committee leaves a legacy behind, is to suggest to the fifth Parliament what are the key things that even though we've dealt with now, is still important and should be taken into consideration. I've noted down violence and its impact on women, children, persons with disabilities, and LGBTI persons. I think just to reiterate, we also had in 2012 or 13, the UN Task Team that had briefed the committee one Wednesday morning around violence against lesbian, and the urge the committee please focus around this particular vulnerable group, acknowledging that the committee's looked at domestic violence and violence against all target groups. And consistently matters pertaining to discrimination of persons, LGBTI strata. The second issue is the funding of non-governmental organizations rendering services for vulnerable groups on behalf of the state. And that is propped up throughout our oversight visits when we engaged with NGOs, but also in our public hearings. NGOs saying we're delivering services on behalf of the state, but the strain placed on NGOs is enormous. And the issues of accreditation and funding was problematic given the matters pertaining to the economic and financial crisis across the world. NGO funding often relies on donor funding, and that has diminished over the years. We have prioritized that the Department of Social Development and Treasury would come and speak to the committee around funding of NGOs in relation to rendering services for child protection. But given the time constraints last year, we were unable to do that. Subsequently, there was a paper referred to this committee and the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. It's a paper written by the Financial Fiscal Commission, and the focus was specifically around NGO funding and around children and child protection services. So that's again one of the outstanding matters. I think the other key issue is around the post-2015 development agenda for women, children, and persons with disabilities. In the fourth parliament, the focus was around MDGs. But MDGs, its lifespan will end in 2015. And at the UN level and even at the SADC region, at the AU level, the talk is what happens post-2015. What are the implications, particularly for women, children, and persons with disabilities? The other important matter, I think, is around treaty compliance. We dealt with the SADC Gender Protocol, we dealt with CEDAW, we dealt with the CRC, and we dealt with the UNCRC. So we dealt with all kind of key issues, treaty-wise, in relation to our target groups. But you've noticed that when we engage with the department, the key challenge is often, do we get the report, is the report final, and what's the process in terms of sending it to the respective UN or AU agency. So I think there it would be helpful to hear from members in terms of input of how we can do things better. In terms of legislation, we dealt with the wage bill. The other bill that the committee was keen to get a briefing on was around Muslim marriages. But that's not being dealt with by justice at the moment. The reason why the committee identified that as an issue of 2009 is the gender indication. And it was an issue that had cropped up and within the media, but hasn't actually been dealt with by justice, but it's a matter that would be of interest and importance to the committee. I think another important issue which hasn't put down was matters relating to the decriminalisation of sex work. That has cropped up in various platforms within the committee. But again, it hasn't been dealt with by justice. The committee's intention was to invite the South African Law Reform Commission to talk to the committee about the discussion paper around that matter. The CGE did refer a paper around decriminalisation of sex work, along with 10 other papers, which we had made somebody that submitted to the committee. So those are just some of the key areas to be thinking about for future work. In terms of challenges emerging, one, we indicated the committee always recommended to respective departments to please provide documentation beforehand. If they have documentation on the morning of the meeting, it is difficult for the committee to engage effectively. In terms of in-year monitoring, often that these reports, the quarterly reports were not submitted on time. Towards the end of last year, we were able to gather quarterly reports. So initially, department of the CGE would top, that those reports time you do. And even though we send reminders, that is not always the case. In terms of CGE, stakeholders and civil society reiterate the findings of the Carter Asphalt report, and acknowledge that the Office for the Constitution and Supporting Democracy within Parliament is attending to that matter. So they're not just looking at the CGE, but all other Chapter 9 institutions. But I think I've just highlighted here to the committee, because it's a matter that consistently rises various platforms. So in terms of
Chairperson, first of all, let me apologize. I'm coming from cabinet, and I have asked for a few minutes, and I'm going back. Cabinet is waiting today. I wrote to Mr. Bing Tembo, Chairperson of the Public Service Commission, on the 5th of February, 2013. I informed him of the findings of the Flaxman report and findings of the Auditor General report. I also sent him those documents. I also submitted the documents to the Minister of Public Service and Administration. I submitted the same report to the Minister of Finance. And I also submitted this letter, his copy, to the Premier of Mpumalanga. The response from the Public Service Commission was that this matter should be referred to the Premier, and the Premier should be dealing, should deal with the issue of discipline, because the DG is no longer under my jurisdiction. The letter was written on the 5th. It was sent on the 6th. That is the register where the public service signed. For information of the members, I also wrote to the Speaker of Parliament on the 19th of February, as the chairperson had advised that I write to the Speaker and ask him to table this report in Parliament. This is the letter that I wrote to the Speaker, Mr. V.C. Sulu, on the 19th of February, and the report was tabled, Flaxman report was tabled in Parliament. The chairperson then invited me to come and brief the committee, which I did last year.
The engagement that we will be having is about the letter, because we ourselves, we said that we are also waiting to hear from the Public Service Commission. concern here was that was his raised was that a member raised a question in the House regarding the way it was put. It was about the investigation, and the minister responded that in as far as she was concerned, there is no investigation that is taking place by the Public Service Commission on this issue.
What was asked was, what have we done with the report or the recommendations? We had reported to the committee that we have submitted this report as far as the DG is concerned to the Public Service Commission, because she is no longer under the department. So the Public Service Commission has agreed that they received the letter, and they have copied the letter to the Premier, and the Public Service Commission says, yes, it is the Premier that should take over, and that should institute these charges. The investigation was not a matter. What I had done was to send the report of the Flaxman investigation to Public Service for information, and also to the Premier for information. What I've also done was to send the report of the Auditor General, because those two reports corroborated or in terms of the findings, both the findings of Flaxman and the findings of the Auditor General were the same. So I sent those two reports, Auditor General and Flaxman, to the Public Service Commission.
Thank you very much, Chief Minister. Thank you very much to the Minister. I'm not quite sure then if it was a case of misunderstanding, because I thought that we were waiting for a report from the Public Service Commission into people who had been found guilty of transgressing, because it was not only the DG. For example, I'm looking at the minutes of the meeting on the 7th of May 2013, taken from PMG, where the Honourable Minister recalled that there were legal charges against the former CFO and Ms. Bengel, who had sources of other remuneration outside the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities without authorisation, though the department was still seeking legal advice on these issues. So that was one issue that was still outstanding, for example. And then the committee noted that the Public Service Commission was the custodian of all state departments. The committee suggested that we wait for the PCS report. We should give more direction before the committee took further action. And I think in a sense then, you know, I think we were all waiting for a report to come back to us from the Public Service Commission, who was going to investigate and give guidance and direction as to what should be done with some of these people who were transgressed. Because it wasn't only one person, it was many people who were involved in either corruption, nepotism, mismanagement. And I would just like to get more clarity as to what happened to the other people who not stole money, but who were implicated, because I thought, I'm not sure whether we misunderstanding, but as a committee we were waiting for a report to come to us.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to have clarity on this matter. Are you saying that we can discuss other matters concerning the Flaxman report now? Is that what we can discuss? Because there are unclarified issues on this report, and you've promised that, I remember at some stage you promised that those involved in the Flaxman report will also come before this committee, or will have a chance to explain to this committee what happened, instead of having a one-sided view. So can I proceed with my question to the Minister? Thank you. My first question is, what I'd love to know is, those that were dismissed, the officials that were dismissed,
Are some of them back in the department? What happened to those people? Were there any financial implications for the department concerning either being found guilty or not guilty? If the minister can perhaps brief us on that one. And then I'd also love to know if there were any disciplinary hearings from the department side, who was the chairperson chairing the disciplinary committees?
On the point of order, sir, I don't think this is what was on the agenda. Chairperson, let me say that regarding the other people concerned or involved in the Flaxman report, their cases are ongoing. I am not prepared to intervene or divulge or say anything in case I prejudice those cases. But my understanding was that I must come and report on what happened as far as the Public Service Commission is concerned, because the allegation, some of them in the newspapers, was that I lied to the committee and I misled Parliament. I never wrote to the public service. So I've come here to clarify that I did write to the public service. They have responded. They have said the matter of the DG, I must refer to Mpumalanga Premier, and I have done so. The other cases are ongoing. If the committee wants the finances, where what was paid to the lawyers, we can do that. But we have not been given that agenda yet. I would like to apologize, Chairperson, so that I can go to Cabinet. President is waiting.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, and pardon me for that, because the actions that are on the agenda is, can I please remember not to be content to Cabinet for future civil for us, to concern ourselves with the letter that was written, the report from the PSC, that the Minister has indicated.
Can I just have something noted here, please?
Noted,
yeah. Noted.
Can I please have you to note that the DA now distance themselves from the Flaxman report and the implications to follow, and that we will not be liable for any costs involved here. Thank you.
So you're driving a lot for me. And it's going to be huge people, I think.
I'm going to go
page by page.
So now we'll just take any amendments. In terms of the report, any outstanding matters or recommendations the committee would like us to note going forward. I've captured key issues around oversight, around legislation, around briefings and international treaties. So what I'll do is, as members, indicate any outstanding matters or recommendations for follow-up. I'll include this right now. Thank you.
Before we go on, I just want to know the structure of the report. Is that a template that was provided to whoever compiled the report? Because, I was looking at the report that indicated page 3 is the introduction. Page 3 that says introduction, and in my book, I thought that that was the best of the same one.
Thank you, Jay. I think the frustrating part is it's signed off by senior presiding officers. So when we get the template, we're told it's been agreed to, this is what should follow. So there's very little room for me to decide and change. Because it comes from high up to the instruction. This is the template you will use, and this is, even though it doesn't make sense to most of us, we didn't agree to it, you instructed, this is what you're going to do, this is what you need to follow. And so we've got to work within those constraints. I'll note the issue around time frames and the impact on the committee, because of the committee's work. The thing around the education was that initially we were going to focus on economic empowerment, and the following year around education. But then the committee decided to swap that around, to focus around education and skills development, and then economic empowerment after that. So I'll note the issue about time frames and the implications.
Like Kashifa, if we can get page 5,
you see at 1.4, you see the purpose of the report. It only comes after on page 5. And it's like it was supposed to be somewhere, let's say, on page 1 or on page 2. And we have got the work of the police, the very same 1.3. So really, I would recommend that as a committee we should take a decision that would like to recommend or to go to the higher principals that we feel we want the system should be restructured before we can actually adopt a fundraiser. It is from Makas.
Yeah, I was also going to speak on the same point that, you know, when you present and you say, I have already rejected intimidation, intimidated by IAP because, but the point is that I think when a senior structure takes decisions, they are always subject to correction. I mean, if you see a fault, to be honest, we can't just blindly follow the path because it comes from the senior structure. I'm sure the senior structure, with all the good intention, when they do things, and we can, by way of supplementing, by way of adding on, help where there's a shortcoming, they are supposed to appreciate that. So for me, to be honest, I don't think if you see something wrong, we should just continue under the auspices of it coming from high up. If we do that, then we're working in a very top-down approach, and this government's approach is not top-down, it's top-down and down up also. It's a two-way kind of interaction. So if you're doing a correction, I don't think there's harm. Everybody will appreciate that. Rather than going to the bureaucracy of going back and to social mission, I think there's room all the time for interaction, even with junior and down to the level of the masses kind of relationship. So I would just recommend that you do the necessary correction and go forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. You know, it is rather strange that we can now speak on intimidation from higher up. And never did that when we really needed to do just that. Yes, there's always room for improvement. But truly, I cannot see anything wrong with this report besides page 27. And I was not in this committee since 92. I was only here, I think, 12, middle 12, or beginning of 12, sometimes this might take at the end of the committee, 2014, so about 2 years. And the challenge here on the technical of it, and I must congratulate this is a hell of a lot of work, and this is well done. If you read through this, it will make sense. It will make sense. Technical operation challenges during the Parliament Committee, members have been, it's on page 27, Chair. You have it, challenges emerging. During the fourth Parliament, committee members have been invited to attend the UN Commission on the Status of Women. I think that needs to be rephrased, because though the invite came to the committee, you know that only certain people went to represent. Stakeholders were identified that went. The committee members did not go. The committee members did not go to attend. So I think just members, perhaps we can have more clarity on that one, or say the chairperson and whoever.
And then my concern is also the follow-up of recommendations has not been done by all stakeholders concerned. And that is a major problem because people go abroad, they attend sittings and meetings and conferences, but follow-ups are never done, and that is why we never have outcomes on what we need to do. So that is the only concern here for me as I went through the report. Thank you.
Mine is nothing else. I don't have a problem with the content of the report. My argument from the structure is some of the blessings already highlighted. Because you can't recommend before recommendation on the operating document of the report is supposed to be at the end of the report. So I also feel that as you look at the format of the report and then try to rectify where it's needed.
Kashifa should just explain to us what goes on in the report. The first two pages speaks, it's a brief summary, and she's reflecting on the committee's work from 2009, I presume, to 2014. And then with the introduction coming on the third page, as I understand, is on deliberating on what happened in the committee, if that is correctly understood by me. And then I really don't, I don't see why this should be structured. I think we really need to go back, then read through it, try and explain. Because to us there is nothing, and here I speak on behalf of the DA, I cannot see any mistake. You know, then we should have criticized the reports that came from the department that we're in. Many times we spoke on that, and nothing was done about that. and I'm not trying to be awkward, but this is a hell of a lot of work that went in here, and I think it is excellently set out. She explained where the template came from. Thank you. And this is not, and Chair, I must mention this. This is not trying to cover for anybody, because I do not want people in this department, working for this department, to be labeled as DA agents. Thank you. No, I must say this, because if anything you don't understand, and if we speak then, we always inform.
So we shouldn't have the
meeting
happening outside
the meeting. Oh, okay. But I must put my point.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I want to repeat myself, I indicated that I don't have a problem with the content of the report. And taking what Honorable has said, that it's a lot of work to restructure this document. To my understanding, I think this document is already in the computer. It's just, if you don't change the content, you just do the heading in terms of introduction, and then you go on with the objectives and whatever, so on, as a format of it, until we arrive at the challenges and the recommendation. That's all. And you look at the report as it is, that what can be the object. It's something which I'm sure you're used to Kashifa. So it can only, if it's in your system, it can only take a certain minutes to do that. I'm saying this through experience, because some of us know how to write the report. So please, beside the computer. So please, this is a legacy report. It's going to come back to us as women, as a committee, that it seems that we don't know what are we doing. What are we doing, because what we're doing is the content. We don't know actually what is going on in the report. Hence, we've left Kashima to come up with the Kashifa, with a report which is not, I don't know how can I put it. I don't want to go out of the way. But please, I plead with you, Kashifa, look at the destruction of the report. You know how the report is called, how to perform the report, so that it's not going to land only at the committee. It will go out at the end of the day. It must be a real legacy report from Women and Children Department. Thank you.
Maybe as a
thank you, Chairperson. But I think this report is not for us. It's for the fourth parliament. You make fifth parliament, we won't be here, maybe. You know? Those people will come here. They must take it from this. You know? I think the argument was really, when you wrote this Kashifa, you said that you've seen this thing, but because it comes from us, our platform, you know, the template, you know. Now, it's a committee that is saying, please, can we change? Yeah? For those people who are coming, really, not for us, because we won't be getting, you know, really, thank you.
I have a solution.
Maybe just to add, when you talk about the mandate, it is not only for the people who are going to talk about the Department of Women and Children. What is the mandate? And it's not here in the Before we even go through the report, I mean, you have to know what the mandate on you know, the commission. And I don't know why because the content will remain. And the objective will go where they are supposed to go. That's the comment. Member Kitana? Member Kitana? Member Kitana? Member
thinking, I think Kashifa wanted to give an explanation, because I was just concerned that if a census such as this has been provided by Parliament and they want us to adhere to it, if we change it, whether it wouldn't then be rejected as a legacy report, because I'm actually on my phone looking at the draft legacy report of the Military Veterans Portfolio Committee, and it looks pretty similar to this one. So I'm just concerned that if we start tinkering with it in a way that we want it, then it might be rejected. As the member has noted, this is not really our report, it is our legacy, but it's not our format, because it's going to go to higher presiding officers. So we'll keep it then on the record for the fifth parliament. But I think Kashifa was on her way to explain.
But then why was it brought to us for adoption? Why do you adopt something that we don't agree with? How can we do that? Because it's going to be our report. Otherwise, they should have written it and check it then. And not bring it to us for adoption.
To be honest, if the substance of the report remains, and we're just working with the body of the report to make it better for the way we understand things, we're just making it more user-friendly, more readable, and in our own terms, and it is only as we can say yes, we think it is easy to read. I don't think the real would get punished for that by Parliament. The substance it is that. You know, Maddie Chester, I don't know if she's here. The other day when we were debating as women, children and disability debate, she said something very important, that Minister Musadi wa Inama a fiele Mutuaka Africa Sesotho. That means a woman backed with not a stick group but the old primitive group. She has to kneel down and sweep the floor and make sure that it is always, which is very important. I mean, this is the attitude, me, myself as a man, this is the attitude that we have, that women are always there to clean up. They make sure that, at times there's an excuse when it is only men, the body expects from men, they can't. But when the mother is there, you think because the lady is there, she's going to clean up. Personally, I think really it is just in principle wrong to let something go through, simply because, especially if it doesn't change the substance, especially if it makes it neat, it makes it lookable, and it makes it easy to read. I really don't think any argument can be brought forward because it was from an infrastructure. It should have been left. Really, if Parliament can operate heavy top-down, I think it will be too much, it will leave too much to desire. It is all our responsibility, to be honest, to help and correct and this type of thing. We shouldn't allow our own structure to operate in a top-heavy-down kind of setting.
Thank you. I've found a winning solution. The grey box with a summary. I mean, our legacy report is 40 pages. If I think of Salif, he did 140. So I think the challenge for the senior presiding officers when they look at this report, they don't want to read anything long. So the summary box is when they look at the first two pages, they want to, at a glance, say, what does this committee do across the 4 years? What were your key issues? What were your challenges? What are you suggesting? So I think that was the intention of that first grey box. But I understand, at a glance, some people don't want to read 140 pages. They want to look at your first two pages and capture what's been written. but acknowledging what members' concerns are. What I'll do is, there we go, we started off now with the introduction, and I'll put in a footnote for a summary of the committee's key highlights, please refer to Appendix 3. So as opposed to our key highlights being at the front, it will now be the last thing. So I think, so for this point in terms of amendments, the one amendment I've included two so far is with Chairperson's concern about time frames and its impact on the committee in terms of the workload. In terms of CSW, I've changed that members of Parliament are invited to attend and the concern around follow-up of recommendations. If there are any other amendments or recommendations that the committee would suggest, and that we could include, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Okay, we'll follow. I think it's page 5.
In our strategic plan that's up on the screen now, the committee then agreed to violence and socially vulnerable groups. So that was agreed to then, but I've noted it changes, as Ms. Clark has said, I just looked at.
No, Chair, I don't want to dwell on this where we differ. And then
it is good to differ because through difference you learn. If you open a book, I just want to bring you back. And I hear now what Kashuka says, and I don't have any, how can I say, it is still a concern of me that when you open up a book, you have the summary of a book, and then you start reading. And I think that was the issue of Parliament, why they have worked or why they have suggested a format like this. It makes sense. And I don't want us, and I please people, I don't try to be difficult, but I don't want to be labeled as women that do not know how to go about things. I'm bringing this to your attention because to me really I worked through this report and I couldn't find anything wrong. I think if you read it in context, if you go for the context in which it was done, then one clearly understands what is happening. I just want to maybe want to speak on that.
I think for me, in terms of maybe guidance from the committee, in terms of an overall challenge and a recommendation is one, how the committee engages with the select committee, multi-party rooms caucus and the ISD office. Because we, in terms of the committee's mandates and issues, there was always an issue how do we strengthen relationships. And it was always about timing. Timing in relation to doing oversight, in relation to doing briefings. So I didn't put that down, but I thought maybe hearing from members we think that's a challenge and how do we need to work better with our select committee, multi-party needs caucus, but also other committees, because our issues are transversal. And what do members recommend? How can this be done? So for the first part, what should be done differently to work better?
I can't agree more. Because, you know, the nine departments and what they do and their reports will definitely strengthen this department. It is of pivotal importance that they partake, but that they also report back to this department on what they're doing. Even if they just submit their reports on a regular time frame, on a regular basis, with set time frames at year two. That is a very important one. And that can have a great impact on the workings of this department to get them up and running if they're still going to be there. And then, what was the other one? And then, yeah, I said sticking to time frame set, you know. Not when they need to, even this department itself, you know. When they need to submit, no matter what happens, they need to submit their reports. Because only if we deal with the reports, will be able to pinpoint the shortcomings and see that they do not achieve outcomes, desired outcomes. But once you roll over 3 months and 6 months and allow them to go on the way they go on, you will never have success in this department.
Thank you. Can I just give you clarity on the around submit reports to this committee? This committee or the department on a regular basis. I'm just thinking, just off the top of my head now, if we think around the 2% target, often when we engage with an individual department, we ask them, please tell us about your equity structure and are you aligned? What is the committee requesting that's different to how we've done things before? Are we saying that we want, and who should those reports come to? Is it around, and what reports in particular? Is it around specifically the 2% target? Is it around how you, the department is budgeting for women, for children with disability? I think that would be helpful if we get more guidance as to what specific reports we'd be requesting.
Okay.
Okay, Chair. Number one, Chair, we do have the department to report back, the departments to report back on the 2% target. Remember that even the report on the convention of what? Country report about it? Could not be completed because of departments not giving their info or giving their reports through. And I remember that the Deputy Minister said that they had really go to great lengths to get the departments to submit, and even some of them did not submit. You know, well, we can't put a penalty on them or charge them 10% of their overall turnover, but we can have some measures in place to get them to submit what they need to submit. That's number one. Number two, the annual report of the department. When last did we have an annual report of the department? They're already 3 months behind the game. And that actually will also get the department, am I right? Yeah, quarterly report. That needs to be done so that we can see where the department is not achieving and not come to the end of a year, of a financial year, and then find out that they've only reached 10 out of 16 targets. Perhaps during this phase of time, they will be able to explain what is happening here or why they cannot achieve, instead of leaving everything and only work on it or scrutinize it at the end of a year, a financial year.
So I think that the Auditor General has been requesting the report. Well, it's not in terms of the PSSB, but it's just an advice to the department that if they submit monthly reports, even though they're not it will assist them in us picking, you know, the shortfalls, you know, before they get onto the next, you know, quarter or even the next month, so that they can be able to rectify it. But the quarterly reports, which are not even timely submitted, actually there's nothing that you can rectify because it's gone, you know. So I think that should be one of the challenges and recommendations that we have as a committee, because we're looking at it for long period.
Apology, Chairperson, if I'm out of order or if I'm asking something which is not in the report. One has to be educated, and 2009 I was not here. Coming to intergovernmental relations, I don't see any government highlighted where the department had engaged with. That is why I say I need to be rectified if I'm not in line of what is the discussion. For somebody who will be looking at the report, will he or she be able to understand which department has the committee engaged with? Yes, you can say education. What about the transport? Because as the world has, you know, the department of transport, it's not highlighted here. So my intake or my argument is, can't you highlight the different department where the committee has engaged with?
The point before the previous speaker about not living things for too long, that at times the short meetings, I know that Verukant is projecting performance management system, which says in order to enhance performance, don't wait until at the end of the year and say you haven't performed. If the purpose of the system is to correct while time is available, that you need to meet regularly and at shorter a time, some fortnightly, others 1 month, whatever it is practical. So that while there is still time, you are able to say this is wrong and this is how you together can say this is how we think it should be corrected. Now if 3 months is water under the bridge, then it means it did that clear because we have, because then you are able to say, look, the way things are going, we don't think you are performing. And this is the way we think you should correct. And the person should also be able to feel the rationality. And the whole thing that we're trying to help, we're not there to test them out or defile them, but we are there to say, let's help each other in order for us to perform better. So I was just saying, while it isn't, you know, our researcher asked this question that, do you want to do things as you have done them in the past, or do you want to do 12 changes? And I just wanted to say, you know, the sense of government, you've got so many systems, so many ways and means of doing things that it isn't as hard perhaps in the way we've been doing things in the past, but in another system, which is performance management system, this point that you are emphasizing, that Lamula mentioned, then you support it. And it's nice when you support each other, because most of the time you're in a political fist fight, some kind of a boxing. So when you support each other, the two of you, we really enjoy it. I was saying that it might not be here, but it is in performance management system. Thanks.
Never break a wall down unless you know why it was put up. My hand was up, and you are criticizing now before you know what I'm saying. You know, what never impacts on my mind is nitty-gritty issues. It does not make any impact on my life. I have better things to look forward to and to work with. And my hand was up because I wanted to raise the policy matter on disability. You know, the convention on people with disabilities are very clear about how disabled people, how we should go about accommodating, serving, and what goes with it, disabled persons. And it is a great shame that this department for 5 years still could not conclude on their disability policy. So I feel we really need to engage on that one. We are in nearly a conclusion on ours in the party, so I would love to work on that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not quite sure we may be in order. For the first year of this Sotolo Committee, first and second, in 2009-2010, the NYDA was accountable to this committee, and we've done a lot of work and interaction with them. So I'm not quite sure in terms of the key highlights for this portfolio committee, how can we fit in besides the oversight trip that we have taken, but how can we highlight it to the attention of the fifth parliament to say this, the youth NYDA was accountable to this committee, and this was the interested, though it has been moved out in the middle of the office of the chair.
That stood out for me, I could ask Crystal and Lorenzo also,
to give the insights, because before I came to advise, Crystal was the gender person, so she knows more about the CGE. Lorenzo also can talk to our child participation and constituency and highlight around the public hearings. One for me around the legislation, just a general issue that I'm thinking about. We've spoken about it before, that we've had the wage bill and the CGE. Those that actually referred to the committee. But the committee sat in around human trafficking and gave input. The key challenge has always been, because of the transversal nature of while the committee engages, that we invite it to confer with legislation. But the problem is, for much of the legislation doesn't reside with our department, Women, Children, Business with Disabilities. It's with another department. So when it comes down to the actual clause by clause in voting, the committee is not involved. And that's a technical process matter. That when a bill is referred, the bill is referred and it gets assigned to a particular committee. So really of interest for us, our committee takes the initiative. But I think the challenge has always been, how does the committee effectively engage around legislation when it's not referred to our committee? And I'm not sure technically what the implications would be if it's referred to both committees. And that decision isn't, it's at JTM and Speaker's office, so it's high up. But I'm just thinking around legislation, that's one of the key issues. How does the committee become more involved in particular pieces of legislation if the responsible department for implementing is not our department, but another department? So the responsibility is actually with another DC, not ours.
Just on that one, I don't want to really say what I want
to say, but what I can suggest is that members go to these committees. You're allowed into those committees to hear what they have to say, and the chairpersons do give you a chance to recommend or to add to the value of the committee or even on legislation. I've been to so many of these committees. And they adhere to what we say, and they put it into their reports and things. So members are allowed to go to these committees, and that is why I say, and that is when I speak of overriding, duplicating, that is exactly what I mean. Many, many of these issues can be dealt with by other departments. Thank you.
Yes, yes, I also don't know how to settle the situation, but the point is that, you know, when we pick something up like sexual work, we have discussed it, but maybe the problem problem is not necessarily that it doesn't come to us. The problem here is it is a difficult one to decide. Maybe we don't have a position, because if we could easily say, look, this is a matter that you think affects women, sexual workers, most of them, it's 99.9% of women. So we think this is our position, which we want to forward to the Department of Justice. That was going to help. But maybe we are afraid to take a decision and forward it. And maybe in the past, in the future, it will help for us to be proactive. Just like we've been proactive with the education, we invited it and told it about people with disabilities, educational facilities, and many others. But I just think sometimes we're not proactive because decisions are difficult for us. We are afraid to take decisions. What is our opinion about it, Father?
Thank you, Chairperson, to Aaron on what Honorable Kekana has said. Maybe we should not only look at the sex workers. What are we saying about the lesbians? Because the lesbians are the culprit of the crime. Pardon? No, I'm referring particularly to the lesbians because they are the ones, their friends are the ones that came to me in married and whatever and so on. So my proposal is what Honorable Kekana has highlighted, that maybe we should sit down and have an opinion what we can forward to the relevant structure. We may not forget about the lesbians being the women. Thank you.
By attending a meeting, a justice, and also expressing your view, being noted, it won't be the same as when it is formalized. Because it's in the discussion, and we have an interest in that one. So I think we should formulate it in such a way that they
specifically in relation to the CGE, as you think that we've had lots of interactions with them. Mm-hmm. If we think about the time coming from the time when they had a disclaimer, up till now, there's been a lot of progress, and I think a lot of that has got to do with the input and the work that the committee has done with CGE. I think maybe we need to also strengthen, it's been good, that we need to have more interaction in terms of they're also sending us regular progress reports. Maybe we've had a good oversight to the CGE. We've seen the progress, mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we need to stop getting information from them. So I think in that regard, we just need to keep that process running to have a good relationship and interaction with the CGE and keep getting regular progress updates and reports from them in relation to how they are feeling. The other interaction that we had, especially with it, was around the CGE amendment bill, and then also in the report it's indicated that also the appointment of commissioners, but that wasn't something that the committee specifically dealt with, that was dealt with by an ad hoc committee that is established specifically to deal with that. So but around the CGE, I think those are the key things.
Number of police that is being submitted by the CGE to the they've made 700 with regard to your widow, how widows are being treated, the equality, and so forth. So I think we have to recommend to the parliament to say they must be able to follow up on this matter.
And also maybe to also not forget to talk about, you know, the strengthening of the relationship between the department and the village and the community.
Thank you, Chair. In relation to children and disability, the two things that I think is important for work that this committee has done and which could lead into the legacy and also taking work forward, which Kashifa mentioned, was the child participation exercises, which members undertook in constituencies, together with, in relation to disability, was the public hearing. So I could point members to page 20 in the hard version of their report, not Kashifa, the one she amended on there, but page 20 on the copy of the report in front of you speaks to in relation to oversight visits, it says 2 to 5 December, Gauteng, East State and Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape provinces, when Kashifa and myself accompanied various members in their constituencies in relation to child participation. The objective is set out over there on page 20. Between Kashifa and I, we've come up with different recommendations for various constituencies that we attended, which we are busy sort of putting into one report. And I think there's a lot of issues that come, specific issues, substantive issues in relation to poverty, child support grants, violence, drug abuse, etc., which comes from various constituencies out, which are important for taking work forward. I think what's important, I think the overall importance of this exercise is this is the continuance of it, that it sort of sets the agenda for members to interact with children in their constituencies, and that should be carried forward, I think, as a major recommendation for the first parliament in relation to that work, to always, and once you take the recommendations, you actually report back to what's been done, hold, especially because what we found was that a lot of these issues relate to provincial mandates, access to health, a lot of this stuff, rehab centres, is something the province should do and not necessarily national government. So also engaging with your members of the provincial legislatures, with MECs in the provinces to make sure that the issues that the children raise, like for example, Chairperson, I remember when you were in Indonesia, the issue was no drug rehabilitation centre for children, they sent to the one for adults. So there's an MEC for health in Gauteng which should be able to deal with this and so forth. So those are some of the issues. And I think, yeah, we haven't considered the report yet, but I think there's a lot of value and substance in that report which we can take forward on for the first parliament. In relation to disability, I think if I could, the public hearings was held before I joined the committee as a researcher, but I was there when I still worked for the university. I attended them, so I mean I've been there, and I think one of the I raised three important issues which comes from the public hearings, which is in the report, together with what's been raised consistently in the committee by members, that relates to education and the implementation of education for children with disabilities, the 2% target for the employment of persons with disabilities in the public service, and the disability policy, which the Minister has also indicated to this committee that the department is dealing with it in this financial year, and they're in the process of working with it. So therefore, I can see future engagement soon for the first parliament, or for the first parliament on these issues. So those are the three important sort of things that I've picked up with regards to the hearings report, which the committee has adopted as such.
Thank you. terms of closing, you know, and the target of what that's like, you know, I'm wondering how you were able to come up with this initiative since you have not spent enough time to have, you know, public hearings on children, when already you had public hearings on the subject of disability and the domestic violence. So I think that's actually and people are confused on covering the target of your children.
In terms of the oversight visits, we've got three reports that are still outstanding in terms of the status of the report. The report is said we're not adopted. So I'm not quite sure that we hand over this legacy report, even though those reports were not adopted. The first one is the oversight to Michelle's plane and police station. The second one is the interaction with the Department of Police and Police and Justice. And the last one is the one that we were speaking about here, our oversight, our interaction with the children in different provinces. So can it be possible, especially this one, the children's one, can it be possible for us, before we arrive in the parliament, we adopt those reports so that it can be this legacy can have weight, that we don't have outstanding powers. Thanks, Chair. With the amendments made, I move for adoption of this report.
What
about each and every submission state, we can do that. In terms of the summary of recommendations, again, of the 41 submissions, some of the recommendations are 2 to 3 pages. So if I include all of that, the report is going to be long, but members prefer that, we can do that. Again, I've captured what are the consistent recommendations across all submissions and grouped them under themes, so under sub-headings. As opposed to just listing a whole lot of bullet points, I captured them so that there's a summary. In terms of if members want, we can include a section that looks at departmental responses. We can do that. That can be done. The reason why it wasn't included here was that formed part of the deliberation of the bill. So in terms of input around the wage bill, and that's how, in terms of the report for the bill, we came up with a short report about what the issues were there. So that's why I thought the public hearing just catches that, what was done at the public hearing. But if we need to input a section on departmental responses, we can do that. And it basically is the table that the department sent us. It has each and every clause around with what the submission said and how the department responded. So we can include that as an appendix. I think it was about 30 pages, but that can be included as an appendix. So in terms of the department's response, for each of the clauses to the submissions, this is what the department said. So I'll change 7 then to departmental responses, and include the appendix from the department, how the department responded.
Those gender focal points are available.
very weak, but in terms of the bill, it is very clear. The bill that was adopted yesterday, it's clear that those gender focal points should be a person at the top level management, and there will be a requirement that will be done to appoint a suitable candidate for the relevant post. So this way, general issues from yeah, came out of the public hearing, but the bill actually existed.
There was nothing by the time that bill came to the public hearings. There were no talk of fines or imprisonment, and that's exactly why some people commented that the bill was toothless.
I think the reason I included that was given that when they costed the bill initially, it was without amendment. So given that there's amendment, is there any implication for what they included in the bill now, cost wise? And then, given that other departments around the gender focal point, for example, many have indicated sometimes there's a department that doesn't have a gender focal point. So if you put one in there, there's a cost implication for you, for your department. So the cost implication isn't just for our department, but to look at the cost implications. Other people must also factor in, if you don't have a GFP at a decision-making level, you need to put that into your budget.
That way, like positive, let's say.
happy about the PE. Now this all concerns back to him. More to the deputy. If they were in on the if they were from that position, I think it would be good chair if it could be reflected here. Only if I had a I was saying the rural women who highlighted that they are positive, seemingly from the report they are not yet happy. And they were saying they are supporting the bill so that it can protect them.
That the group of women, rural women, has indicated that the bill will greatly support the advancement of women living in rural areas. And I think they spoke mainly about land.
Because it's very difficult to highlight about those who are positive. But if you can look at what is happening more socially in some companies, if you are women and be positive, they don't even consider you to get a higher position. So can't we look at the strategy, how we can, you know, it's difficult because it seems now we are dividing somebody privately and so on. But it's a very burning issue, it's a very serious case when it comes to other companies. Because some of the companies, if you are a woman at a higher position
and add into the journey ends up being away because of the sickness and so on, they end up demoting those women. And as a symptom, when it comes to addiction, no matter how you qualify, there are those companies who are undermining women who are positive, you know, dividing their status that they are positive. And then to this is they lose that position because of their status. So I'm saying even if it's a little bit sensitive to put it either way to say positive HIV women and so on, I'm saying the committee should look at the way how we can address it so that at the end of the day, those women may be protected. I don't know whether I might say of what I'm proposing now.
No, I think I hear what you are saying. I hear it, but now we are dealing with submission.
Sure.
Okay. Submission. Okay. Submission. School, we are dealing with what was submitted. Yeah, I think the point we are dealing can be discussed.
During the hearings, some of the rural women who were here, they submitted their proposal that they must be protected. I don't know whether I'm right or wrong. Can I be corrected?
Women from rural areas, is they were supporting the bill in terms of the submission. So why don't, maybe what you're trying to say is that maybe it should be captured in the report. It should not always be negative, but it seems as if all those people who submitted were negative, were raising issues or negative, but we should then capture it as in the way people who have made inputs, like these young women were there, raising their own concerns, but otherwise generally been positive to the bill.
I don't know where it's captured, or maybe someone, I don't know, I just went through this and wrote through this document. I don't see where it was. There was a submission from a moment ago. Yeah? And I'm not quite clear just what was a moment ago's submission all about, and where is it captured somewhere here? If we can maybe assist each other to say what was the Moroccan's Nanto submission, or that one also, because they were part of the public hearings, that one must also be captured. Thank you very much.
And not vocal, you know, during the time of public hearing. So I don't think we should leave them out. We should also highlight that, because we'll always have those two voices of the previously disadvantaged. And those who dominate are those who are in the room, or really those who have been advantaged for all these years. There will be many because they have experience. So let us look at those and also include the past issues.
So that we
have a report in this is not really single fire, but one balance. So remember,
We'll check on the Vodacom. Vodacom supported the intent that, which we captured on the general. The other issues they highlighted was the link around BEE and compliance around that, and around looking at other pieces of legislation. I think just to give members an example of, if I look at like Business Women's Association, appreciate the opportunity afforded to make a submission, welcome the opportunity to address the committee. So most of the submissions start off like that, and then they go into kind of general issues and matters of concern. Just to give you another example, the Progressive Women's Movement, again, they started saying they welcome the intent of the bill, and then they go through often much of the discussion about general issues and not really substance of what needs to be changed in the bill. But one, we'll look at Vodacom, and then two, we'll just cross-check our notes around the group of women from KZN. But I did try and capture it under general, the second bullet point. So we'll just broaden that, and I'll just double-check against Vodacom. What else there to say?
Thank you. Can we move then?
Yes.
Okay, good. What is this? Not edit. ask you to?
I'll send it over to the department to change the committee,
The chairperson?
Okay, chairperson, if you look on that report, the number two presentation by the department, line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, line 7. Hey, that whole sentence of personal three lines don't make sense. To this end, the committee, after consultation between the state law advisor and the parliamentary legal advisor, to remove clause 7.2, as the concerns noted will be adequately covered by clause 9.1 of the bill. I don't know, I read it over and over. I think it needs paraphrasing, just to this end, what? There's no, I don't know. I think it's just grammar.
Chairperson, Marwan is on the introduction. And based on the opinion of the law advisors, the committee should decide a third opinion is required. I don't think that is correctly phrased here too, because I remember, and please rectify me if I'm wrong, I remember that you came up with the idea of a third legal opinion coming from the Speaker's office. That is what we were told. So that needs to be rephrased. Thank you. The chairperson came up.
Can you come again, Honourable Lamola?
I said on this one, the committee should decide a third legal opinion if it was required. But I remember that you came, and I think it was because you were late also, that you said the Speaker's office has now requested a third legal opinion on this. That is what I remember. I can't remember that the committee decided on a third meeting.
On that day on Wednesday, I was here just about to open the meeting, and the legal advisor, he's the one who went to the speaker to say that they are differing with the state law advisor. I couldn't elaborate this in the meeting. That is why I said he must explain, because he's the one who went to the speaker to say that they are differing with the state law advisor. Hence, I was called to say that if they are different, then we will have to get a third opinion. And after that, I was also told that they must give you a written submission on their different opinions. And you, the committee will have to decide on those, two different legal opinions as to whether they do need a third opinion. And it's only when we got that written from both of them. My question was to him, why did he go to the speaker before they gave the written legal advice?
No, chairperson.
So I wasn't late in that meeting. I was about to open the meeting, and he came and said, "I'm being called by the speaker," and that's how the whole thing happened.
Mm. But chairperson, just to refresh your memory, that is not what you told the committee. The only thing that I heard was that the Speaker's office has now requested a third reading opinion. That is what you said. You never told us what you're telling us now. And it should be minuted as such. We can't now change it because that is not what we were told.
Chairperson.
If I just want on this very line, the committee should decide. Maybe we should try it. I don't know how we'll phrase it, but the committee was advised to look for a third opinion. If required, I don't know. Or is he saying that should be loyal?
Based on the opinion of the speaker.
I think just to clarify what the Honourable Moore said,
I think this sentence can just, this last sentence of the point two, if you can just read maybe to this end, the committee after consultation between the state law advisor and the parliamentary legal advisor resolved to remove clause 7.2 as the concerns noted would be adequately covered by clause 9 of the bill. Thereafter the committee deliberated clause by clause on the bill.
It's only been removed.
I think may must be changed and then we must just add resolve to remove.
had referred to earlier on, ne? On the same sentence, ne? After the bill, and indicated that they will submit. We actually submitted. Oh, so the second page, same line that I referred to in terms of abstaining, not voting. Yes. It says and indicated that they will submit their minority report. I think it should read and they submitted their minority report because we did submit something at that stage. Okay. And then on the last page.
I think that sentence is right because we did not, as a committee. You remember we said, you know, I said I don't know about the minority report.
Sure.
And we did not. But if you are submitted, to the secretary, who later on checked the rules,
okay,
and advised me as a chair that, you know, I should go to rule number 9 where it does allow for minority.
Okay. So I was just saying, because this is a reflection of what happened on that day. Mm. We did submit, you know, because if it says they will, and we did, it's two different things. We submitted, it happened, even though maybe the rules, I mean, in this case, they were not saying anything different. I guess it said that we do have that right and all that. I just wanted it to read that we did submit. Because if it says they will, and today we didn't bring anything, tomorrow nothing, it would be like nothing was submitted. That's where my worry is.
Are we not talking about the deliberations of the meeting of that day? Because we closed the meeting not yet as the committee receiving that report. There was no written report before the committee, but you later.
No.
You came with it.
Yeah. I even showed you.
Okay. Remember, Chairperson, when I asked that we have a report with us, can we present or explain our report or just submit? Remember when I said that, and then it was said that we will submit. So we had it.
Let me explain. What I am saying, I am not saying that. But what I'm saying in that meeting, we didn't accept the report because, as I said, you know, we there is nothing like a minority report. You know, that's what I said. And then later on, we can say that in the minute. And then later on, it was submitted based on us, you know, looking at the rules.
No, Chairperson, if you just come in there, just a second. When we spoke on our minority report, you did say you do. What is a minority report? That is what you said.
Yeah.
And then I still said, ask your law advisor, which you did. And you did, Chair. Mr. Rode was sitting in the back, and he then explained what the minority report was. And then I still said, I have the minority report. I remember very well.
I remember very well. This meeting without accepting your minority report when I left this meeting. I left it because, and I never spoke to the legal advisor. Let me finish. I spoke to the secretary who brought my attention to the rule.
Okay.
And then I said, okay, and then we will choose to let in the
Chairperson?
Yes, I'm saying what actually happened.
My dear?
So you are not going to force me that I spoke to the legal advisor, which I didn't.
Chairperson, we were in 40M46. And when this came up, when the report came up, you said, what is a minority report? I don't know. And then I said, ask your legal advisor. That's all that I said. We have our report to submit. And he still, truly, the legal advisor explained to you what the minority report was. And then I gave it to your secretary. I said, Chairperson, here's the report. I even said, Kashifa, this is our report. And it called Anose. And it is one.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think the debate is not going to happen. Otherwise, the matter that you're discussing has been discussed yesterday, and the report actually, the draft report, the report of the it was ATC, and all of us, I think we have seen it, including that report have included the report by the DA. So I don't think it's going to change anything here. So let's capture let's capture this sentence the way Honorable Moore was indicating. It's not going to change anything. But otherwise, the debate is not taking us anywhere.
If you read and you hear, that's all that sketches around.
Chairperson, my suggestion was that both sides can be put on the minutes. Because to be honest, personally, I was not aware that you did not accept it. I remember Lamula giving it to the secretary, so I thought it was accepted by just giving. So we can put the both sides today. We submitted, but you know it was not accepted. Something like that. Because then, if it says they will, it's not a true objection. Because it's like they will, they still gonna submit.
The
Democratic
Alliance submitted the minority report to the one proposal.
That's what I said from the beginning. And then the last mistake chapter is on the first page, the regulatory resolution, bullet 2, next resolution, page 3 resolution, bullet 2, the last sentence, the long sentence. I'll just start on women empowerment and gender equality bill, the regulatory impact assessment report, not report, it's an assessment, it's just...
And Chair, in fact, it was a report.
Assessment. The weight report is assessment.
Chairperson, did these reports, were these reports submitted to the committee?
Which one?
The ones that we mentioned here, the RIA, Regulatory Impact Assessment, and the workshop, the provincial workshop report. And the department said they've got these reports, they will submit.
I remember you actually spoke to the minister on it.
Yeah.
And you also read.
Yeah.
So I think we need to follow up by way of forming to say that the
Why are you worried about the Mulana coming back? Yesterday I heard I'm starting NGOs. Why do you lie like that to people? You don't even know where I will be and what I will be doing.
Lie?
You know, you gave me such hype yesterday because it was just the Mulana.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, it's on the top.
And the uncle is up to number
Hello, I'm going to let you know. Yeah, I'm going to report. No, I'm not afraid.